Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's good, internet? It is January 6th, 2017. We are coming to you live over the internet from our various locations in the world. And I have breaking news. There are robots having a conversation on Twitch.
I was just going to ask if people have been watching this, because it's been my favorite thing to watch. I'm not watching it, but I'm watching people watch it, and they're letting me know the cool shit that is going down.
Daniel Riendo, Patrick Klepek, welcome to Waypoint Radio, episode 20-something, 27?
28.
How are you guys doing, other than watching robots chat?
I mean, you know what? Preferable to other things happening in life.
Accurate. Accurate. It snowed here last night, finally, which means it's really winter. Mm-hmm. It's actually the winter now.
Yeah.
It's negative two right now, so that's cool.
No, that's not. It's not that here, thankfully.
No, it is cool. Like, it's cool. It's, like, it's literally cool.
Yeah. Okay. It's only 30 here, so I can live like this forever. Like, spending the time I spent in Canada basically means, like, I'm all right all winter, basically. My heat could break and I'd be okay, you know? So.
I don't know about that one.
Sure.
Yeah, I did. I was there for 7.
I had the opposite problem because I lived in California for like almost 4 years. And so I got weak. I got so weak from that. You know, I lived in the Boston area my entire life until I was like 28, and then moved to California. I was like, oh, this is so nice. I can run in my shorts all year long. And I came back here last year and I was just like, oh God. Like, it's just the shielding that you have as a northern climate person, just it goes away.
It doesn't take that long either. Like, I spent a year in California, and that was it for me. And then I moved right from there to Canada. And so that first year in Canada, in Ontario, was rough. God. But it's okay now. Everything I've kind of brought that cold bloodedness back to New York, and I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. How has everyone's week been? I've been gone. I did it. I did the thing that everyone's been insisting I do, which was sleep.
Let's get too self-congratulatory.
I haven't been in the office all week.
That's true.
I've only answered a few hundred emails.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting in a hot tub and just like, yo, let's answer some emails.
I can't. If I'm not doing something with my day, I can't sleep at night. It's really hard. It's really tough.
Okay.
It's a conundrum. It's tough. Like, it's a thing where, like, if I don't use enough brain power, it has to happen. Like, I have to use a little bit. I have to use a certain amount in order to sleep at night. Otherwise, I just don't sleep at night.
I'm the same way. I have to work out every day, and I have to do something intellectually challenging, or else my brain will go haywire, and I will just start, I don't know, staring at the wall, thinking about how the world will end. So, I understand.
I don't have this problem. I thoroughly enjoy doing jack shit and going to sleep.
That's a good way to live life. I wish I was there for you, with you. I really do. I have been doing stuff that I wouldn't normally be doing, which is like I've been playing a lot of Hitman this week, which is a game I mentioned on Monday that I really enjoy now that I'm actually letting myself play it. But normally, like, this would be a time when I'm like, I gotta get ahead of some new releases. I gotta like play some stuff for not review, but like for impressions. And I've been doing some of that, but I've actually been playing a lot of Hitman, and I really still like Hitman. I don't want to, like, keep going down this road, but it's a good-ass game. It's a good-ass video game, so.
I need to play that. I want to get around to Does season two start at some point? Like,
yeah,
is
I don't
there...
know when, but like, there's. I'm finding myself. Like, I'm mad I missed mad at myself that I let myself miss all of the challenges, the, what are they called? Elusive targets. But there's still just, like, so much in that package that, like, is just going to keep me busy for a long time. It's really nice to, like, hop in and do one of the escalation missions and, like, do a couple of steps of that. And then, like, oh, yeah, I made some progress tonight. Peace. It's just a really enjoyable, funny game. Like, really well written. The Hitman is good. So you should definitely check
that
out.
Do you think if you had played it before your list, would it have been higher than number 10?
Yeah, like, there's no doubt. Like, I would have been a contender for the top spot at this point. Like, again, I'm only, like, 11 hours in. Maybe by the time I'm, like, deep into it, I would be, like, I'm burnt out on it. Maybe it doesn't hold up as well as it could or whatever. But, like, it's exactly my sort of game. Like, it is...
I also feel like we have missed out the ideal way of playing the game, which is to say, doing so in small chunks,
yep,
and then, like, enjoying the episodic stuff,
yep,
like, is a way to not burn out on that game and enjoy it in a way that it seems like a lot of other people have, where it's like, hell yeah, like, there's some new Hitman stuff out. I'm gonna jump in that.
I'm still not... The thing that's interesting is, like, it's still... The episodic content or the episodic structure is still clear in the way the game's content is spread out, which is to say that, like, the Paris and Sapienza maps have way more stuff for them than the most recent, like, Colorado and Japan maps, Hokkaido maps, which, like, have a few extra little, like, escalation missions, but Paris and Sapienza have just, like, a ton. So even just looking at it now, it feels like if you just went through all of the stuff, like, straight through, you would get burned out in those early maps. So, like, the way I've been doing it is going to a map, do the main story thing so I can, like, get an opportunity, which, like, you can follow to kind of, like, figure out bits of the map, and then go back through and do a bunch of the escalations, and then maybe go back and do the main hit again a different way, and then, like, move on. Like, I'm trying my best not to, like, get caught up on the, like, I need to 100% this straight through thing. I want to, like, treat it like it's a buffet. I kind of like, oh yeah, let me take a little bit of Hokkaido today. Let me do a little Colorado. Let me do some Sapienza. And that, the way I'm doing it that way is, like, really rewarding. So I'm way into it for sure. What have you two been up to this week? You playing anything?
Well, I know, Patrick, you're playing Let It Die. Did a nice little stream the other day. That was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let It Die seems, I don't know. It's fascinating. Like, I said it's good, but I don't know what that means yet. But Uncle Death is good.
Uncle Death is very,
like,
good.
Uncle Death is very good. Uncle Death should have been in my life, like, weeks ago. Let It Die might not have made my top 10 list, but I might have found a way to put Uncle Death on there.
Somehow.
Uncle
against
Death
the rules.
Should have been at Waypoint High. Like, that's a serious, like, a problem with doing a big, like, spread like that is you have to commission art for it, like, a month before anybody sees it. And that was before I knew who Uncle Death was. And so Uncle Death didn't make it into our final, you know, Waypoint High, like,
been
schedule.
A science,
but, like,
teacher or something, like, something really.
Yeah, maybe he'll stick around for next. We'll see.
Maybe
I don't
he'll
know,
be around
but,
next year.
Yeah, I just I scratched the surface of it. Like, I don't really know a whole lot of, like, what's, like, the game overwhelms you with a lot of systems.
Yep.
It does a very bad job of explaining itself. Like, if you are familiar with roguelikes and games of its ilk, like, you can sort of see the terminology they're using, because it uses a lot of, like, goofy, like, Let It Die specific terminology about, like, how its systems work.
But it's basically,
but if you've
still
never played one of these before, like, you're like, it's. There are, like, it introduces, like, 15 systems within the first 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And even me, who was like, I know what all these things do, but, like, the way you're presenting them is in a way that's going to turn off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the chat were just like, you're not going to encounter most of these for, like, hours into the game.
Yep.
So just, like, take a breath and
go
and,
punch
and,
stuff.
Like, play the game and go punch stuff. It's just, it's very charming. It's the most grasshopper game I've played probably since No More Heroes.
Yeah.
And I like when Suda is being Suda.
Yeah.
And I like it more when it's matched with a game that's fun to play, which is not always
that
the case with grasshopper
case.
Stuff.
No.
And it wasn't even necessarily always the case with No More Heroes, which is a game I liked more. I liked talking about No More Heroes more than I enjoyed playing No More Heroes. There are a lot of things I liked about that series that just Yeah, I got very repetitive.
It got in its own way a lot, I think. Like, it's if it had just been like, okay, well, I'm here to serve up the style. I'm here to serve up, like, a few really cool boss fights. And, like, everything else, don't even worry about it. It would have been a much higher ranked in my, you know, canonical list of Suda games. So...
And also what I worry about, and people were saying it, I shouldn't run into it too much, but is, you know, I'm immediately distrustful of a free-to-play game. Yeah. Because immediately you go, all right, where are the walls? Mm-hmm. Like, where are the things that I'm going to brush up against that you're going to ask money from me from? Fuck. And, like, after the experience of Super Mario Run,
yeah.
where it's just like, you, hey, it's free, and then you pay the thing, and you get all the stuff. Like, you're good. Walk away.
Yep.
I don't know how this game operates it. I don't know how. My understanding is that
did you get to the first thing that they ask you for money for? Like the first.
I mean, there's a couple things, right? Like there's like a fancier elevator that yep. you can ride that I think gives you some bonuses. There's
it's a fancy like
insurance
elevator. It's nice.
An insurance policy you can buy.
Did you see the insurance? Did you get to that? I didn't get a chance to watch the stream. Did you get your first insurance policy?
I did. Yeah, I did.
That like whole delivery is so good. Like it's. It's kind of weird because, like, it feels like the return of an arcade system of, like, oh, yeah, just put another quarter to keep playing.
Yeah.
But, like, the presentation on her explaining the insurance policy package is, like, yeah, uh-huh, I've been in that meeting. I've taken that meeting before. It's I love it.
Yeah, it felt like a meeting with HR at a new job.
Yep.
Except you're saving me from the chat telling me that I could... So, there are mushrooms in this game that you can eat.
Like Super Mario Run.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly, direct parallel. And some of them give you, you can either eat them or you can throw them.
Right.
And like, so there are different attributes. Like one, you know, is makes enemies fall asleep.
Okay.
And so you can throw it like you should, or you can be like me and be an idiot and eat it. And then you just fall asleep for 20 seconds. Like your character like doesn't get any bonuses. I think you get a little bit of health, but you just fall asleep. But from what I understand, some of them... Some of the mushrooms that might seem dangerous can give you unexpected bonuses. You kind of have to experiment with them. And so I trusted the chat when they said, eat the one that says it's a bomb. They said it gives you more strength.
Patrick.
And I was like, okay. Like, that seems wrong.
Patrick.
But maybe. So instead I ate it and exploded. And it didn't kill me, but it got close.
Darn.
Screw you, chat.
You know.
Well, you got to keep letting us know how your Let It Die experience is going, because I'm very...
The characters
curious.
You find when you die, your characters exist in the world, and they're called haters.
They're called haters.
That's pretty good.
They're called haters.
They're called haters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for any of these haters. Like, it's...
I don't. I got to kill them with my fists. They explode. And I am dedicated in this game. There are some... Lots of different weapons, and
there
they're
are lots.
Bizarre and strange. And I am now firmly committed into the camp of I have a steamer that is very weak and does not do much damage to the enemies, but apparently can be one of the best weapons in the game if you just decide to go right into that upgrade tree. I'm going to get that steamer
the upgrade
fully
tree,
upgraded and kick some ass.
So the upgrade tree is both like there's two things. It's like there's the equipment upgrading where like, oh, hey, I'm going to build equipment back at home base. And there's also just like as you use the same weapon over and over again, you get better and better and better with it.
Yeah, this is so
lives.
Let It Die. Yeah, Let It Die is similar in some ways to there are different types of roguelikes. Like there are roguelikes that every instance into the world is singular. So a Spelunky, for
right.
example. Like you don't gain anything by playing Spelunky over and over except experience with how the game works. And understanding and being better equipped mentally for the challenges you're going
sure.
to face. But you don't like have better health or stronger because you've played the game for 1,000 hours. You're just smarter about playing it. Let It Die is sort of like a Rogue Legacy sort of game where you can purchase upgrades, find blueprints. Yes, as you use your fist, you level up your fists. If you use the steamer like me who is using the steamer, you can level up your steamer. And those things persist permanently so that when you die and start a new fighter, you can continue on and have those things. So you start out stronger as a base.
Right.
And I mean, there's like crazy that you can be raided in this game.
Mm-hmm.
People can steal from your bank. You when your fighters that you're done with that you don't want to use anymore, you can assign to go like raid other worlds and they can bring things. This game's there's a lot going on in this game,
which is not what I expected. I actually thought it would be like seeing it a few times at different shows and stuff. I was just kind of
I was like, this game is garbage. I have no interest in ever playing it. Sorry, Suda.
Yep. Turns out it just doesn't show well. That's a thing that happens sometimes, right? It's like games don't always show well at shows where like the either it's not a good idea to just play this on a crowded, loud like convention floor. Or, like, it's just going to take a while. You just have to let it wash over you and, like, dig deep into its systems before it makes any sense or is interesting in any way. Or, just, like, the demo is not a good cut of the game. Like, the demo is just the combat, which is missing all of the charm of that game. Or not all of it, but a lot of it. And so, like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm glad this was a nice surprise at the end of the year. So, yeah.
Also, don't say free-to-play, because then I don't want to play your game.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Like, I know it's irrational. Like, I know that's bad. And as like a journalist, I'm supposed to be like, no, I should judge this game on its merits. But, like, come on.
Fine.
If you say free-to-play, like, I immediately just start, my eyes glaze over.
Right. Right. Especially when it's, like, from a studio that you were hoping would give you a fully featured, like, emphasize that stuff at least. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Danielle.
Oh, and I killed Alex Navarro in the game. He was the first hater I found. Yeah,
that sounds all right. That sounds
fuck
like
that guy.
Yeah, this is why I hired you.
Go play some ska.
Nice.
That was mean. That was mean. Why? I no doubt it's fine. They're ska, right?
Yeah.
Ska like, a roguelike ska like.
Yeah, they were like crossover ska. Yeah. They certainly were more ska before they broke. Anyway,
ska cinematic universe.
Danielle, how are you? How have you
good.
Been this week?
My most exciting thing this week was going back to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in real life. That's fun.
Oh, shit. Well, tell us about that.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's basically grappling. It's like sport grappling. It's like real wrestling, but submission wrestling. So you get somebody into a position where you're going to choke them out or break their arm, and then they tap out. It's really fun.
Because otherwise you'll choke them out or break their arm.
Yeah, they might go to sleep or break something. So, you know, it's pretty good. I'm going to an actual Greco-Roman wrestling seminar on Sunday. I'm going to learn some of that.
Of course you are.
Good stuff.
The most Danielle Riendo thing possible.
Yeah. Right. Is it before or after you save someone's life?
My ambulance on Saturday night, so yeah, I'm gonna do a little, save a life, choke a person, you know, these are the things.
Balance in the universe.
Things you do with your.
Do you have any Greco-Roman experience?
Only a tiny, tiny, tiny amount. Like
what?
Once.
Break down for us, like the stylistic difference between Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and Greco-Roman wrestling.
Well. An expert.
As an expert.
Yeah. I've done a lot more Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu than Greco-Roman wrestling. However, I believe the main difference in the sports, at least the like sports application, I mean, because Jiu-Jitsu is also like a self-defense, like a martial art, but there's also a competitive sport aspect to it. And people obviously train it a lot if they do MMA. I found an MMA gym this week, and it was the greatest thing ever. I'm very happy. It's not far from our office. Anyway, in wrestling, in the sport of wrestling, you want to pin your opponent. You don't necessarily actually bring them to the point where you're choking them or about to bring a bone.
You do that? Can you get a submission in wrestling? It's all about pins.
I'm honestly not sure. I've never competed in it. So
okay.
I'm about to learn a lot more about it. I'll tell you all about it on, you know, if you're interested in life after Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to need to have a check-in on Monday.
We're going to have a special wrestling check-in, you know?
Absolutely. Other podcasts have different sorts of wrestling check-ins.
It's true.
Ours is Greco-Roman, it turns out.
You know, Greco-Roman, BJJ, it's a good time. It's a good, excellent time. Otherwise, I've been playing a lot more Last Guardian. We already kind of talked about that. I wrote something on the site about how I think it balances good frustrations in the form of, you know, how awesome Trico is and just how, you know, sort of realistically annoying the animal can be, sort of like dealing with an animal companion, and that's a really good thing. And then the controls and camera are just, they hate you. They hate you so much. And
it's bad.
It's issue
bad.
In that game, and I wanted it to have, like, I don't know, just a couple more months. Just somebody from somewhere.
I'm sure if they just had 6 more months, they really could have just figured that out.
Controls. You know, even the camera is awful, but it's the controls that are really the, like, frustrating portion of it.
I'm done. Like, it's not charming anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I liked that game a lot for Trico.
Hours, I would have gotten through it.
Yeah.
That game's too long, too. It's, like, not justifiably as long. You know, it's not... Yeah. It
would be half as long.
I'm glad it's out. I'm glad I played it.
Yes. Probably also, which is
absolutely.
Oh God.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. It's a good game.
I also dipped a toe back into The Witcher. I put another couple of hours into The Witcher. I'm like, okay, it's January.
The main game?
The main game, Patrick. What? Yes. I'm not going to.
Are you where are you? Are you in the final? What I can't remember the last island is.
Not even close.
Okay.
I'm like 30. Let me see how many hours I'm at. I'm just going to click on Steam really quick. I am 31 hours into The Witcher 3.
You're 1/15th in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not even close.
I'm 110 in, and I haven't touched the DLC, and I haven't beaten the main game yet.
My hope is, so I have the DLC. I picked up the DLC finally in, like, the winter sale. And my hope is to, like, get to a point where I can play that this year. That's what I want. Like, that's my...
You know what? You should give your... Austin,
what?
That is an unrealistic goal. You're not going to accomplish it.
You should
just try and finish it. Before Cyberpunk comes out, that gives
you
like
four more years.
Several years. Yeah, you can be in the right frame of mind. Like Cyberpunk release date will get announced, and like it's coming out in 2019. It's like, all right, time for Blood and Wine. I'm finally going to put this to bed.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll do Heart of Stone when Cyberpunk's announced, and then I'll do Blood and Wine the year it's going to come out. That way, it's like roll smoothly in.
And then they'll delay it by 12 months or something like that, and you'll be like, I finished it. I'm good.
No, I think
I should probably replay Witcher 3 because I forgot. Got it.
God. So yeah, so I did a couple of side quests. I actually ran into Letho. I did the side quest where Letho pops back up, who is like a major character in the second game. And that was really that was really good. That game's good.
I resent The Witcher 3 for because its open world is as good as it is. It actively makes me upset playing. Yeah. Like I finished Mafia 3 over my break, which like it made me actively angry because there were so many things I liked about it, and the open world was so bad. Like, just I could not stand mission design and open world in that game.
For a different perspective on that, you guys should tune in next week where we have a special Waypoint Radio episode that's me and Steve Gaynor talking about why we like the open world of Mafia 3 for an hour. That happened. He pestered me until it happened. I recorded it this morning. It'll go up probably. I'm thinking maybe next Wednesday. I think it'll be like a special bonus hot episode. I get it. We get it. We just disagree. We just believe in the power of systems, Patrick.
Believe in the power of collecting Playboy magazines and having to disrupt.
We believe in grenades
eight different people. Like, oh, right, here's another guy that I've got to go kill six dudes in an alleyway again.
Throw that dude on the ground and shoot him three times. Shoot that other guy and he'll fall over that railing and it'll look dope as hell. I stopped using silencers in that game because it was more fun to make noise.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
And like that to me was like the combat is just that
good. I just didn't need 30 hours of it.
Yeah, I got you.
I needed like 15.
Yes, you have a kid. I get it. That's fair. So yeah, I'm gonna try to really stick with The Witcher this time and like just as a game that I dip
into. Every podcast, we're going to check in with you about The Witcher.
That's a lot of pressure.
Austin Walker's Witcher Corner.
Okay. We can do it.
All right.
We can do it.
Witching.
I'll have to do at least one quest a week so I have something to say.
Your weekly, a weekly Witcher, you know?
A weekly Witcher. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Danielle. Maybe I'll stream that every once in a while,
That's
my weekly
a great
Witcher
idea.
Check-in.
Just one side quest. It's like, oh, this might be a 2-hour stream. Might be 15 minutes.
One side quest a week. That's it. The thing that where I'm at in The Witcher is, like, I've done some Novigrad stuff. I've met Triss. I think I have to go meet the bard. Yep. What is his name?
I know
Rembrandt.
What you're talking about.
Nope, that's wrong.
No, that is not his name. Keep saying names, though.
Steven Regal. That's not it. Why do I think it's an R name? It's not. Is it an R? What's the first letter? Rose.
I don't know what his name is. I just know when you say it, I'll know it.
Fuck, what is the first letter?
Steven Regal.
Scimitar.
No, this is way better.
It's like a word. He has like a name that is a word. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
Like not a name.
When you search Bard Witcher 3, it just brings up a bunch of Wikipedia pages about bards.
Just general bards? Okay.
Yeah.
Dandelion. It's Dandelion. People said D in the chat.
True.
Dandelion.
There it is.
No, I wanted you to keep going.
If they hadn't given me the letter, I definitely would not have gotten there.
No, his name is definitely Steven Regal. from now on. Steven Regal. Steven Regal.
That's a, yeah, can, a wrestler. Can someone make a mod for Witcher 3 which replaces all instances of Dandelion to Steven Regal?
That's he's a
and now you can't call him Steven. It's only the full name.
Please. Mr. Regal to you.
Mr.
So yeah, I did.
That's the episode. That's a podcast episode's title. Thank you.
I have like a ton of stuff in Velen still. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and like clean up some of that stuff. And just because like that's an easy way to dip my toes back in the game. Like instead of trying to go do the main quest stuff, it's like, oh, I have these four quests that are basically at my level. I did do the thing of like, so I was doing the quest that you run into Letho, which is like at a farmhouse that people think is haunted. Like, because of course, that's how that game
great
works.
Great quest.
It's a really good quest.
I remember that one.
It's a good, really good conclusion to that quest.
Anyway, I'm trying to remember, is that the one where I'm not going to spoil, I'm going to try and speak vaguely and then you can confirm. Is it the one where like you find a body and there's a description of how this woman died that is deeply unsettling?
No.
It involves rats?
No. I haven't seen that
maybe
one.
Maybe that's a different
this
quest.
This is the one, who knows if there's a different Letho quest based on how I don't know. So the kind of turn was that Letho had a plan about how this thing was going to shake out. He kind of structured things such that things were going to go one way and he didn't want you to get involved. And like after a certain point, and then you get involved and fuck it up for him I got involved because I'm that dude. I have my friends, even if my friend is maybe the assassin of kings, I have his back. He's a Witcher 2, god damn it. You gotta look out for your own, you know? So I'm gonna keep doing those side quests and like cleaning up Velen as much as I can, and then at some point I'll feel comfortable going back into the main quest. I guess the one thing that's like weird about The Witcher, or not weird, but it's not traditional, is that like you don't level up from doing anything except big main quest storyline stuff. Like, I finished that whole quest and I was like, 1 XP. I'm like, fuck you. Just give me 0. Just give me no XP. I need like 300 to level up again. Just fuck off. And it's fine. I like The Witcher a lot, but...
A tower full of mice. That's the quest you need to find.
Okay.
It's a side quest involving a woman named Kiera that you'll encounter.
I'll look for it. Oh, wait. I may have already done... We'll see. I'll look for it. I'll see what I can do. All right. I think that's everything I did over break. I answered emails. If I haven't answered your email and you're listening, I promise I'm working towards your email as fast as I can with my vacation time. What else happened this week? I feel like I've been in my cave, like, hibernating.
There was a close encounter. Patrick
had a close encounter?
Well, Patrick wrote about a close encounter.
That could mean a lot of things.
Which kind? The third kind. What's the first kind? What's the second kind?
Animal?
So wait, is the third thing not an animal?
It's extraterrestrial.
So the second kind is a terrestrial. I'm just trying to get my categories straight. I actually don't know. I mean,
you know, my attempt at making this a fun segue failed like 3 minutes ago.
I feel like it has to do with distance, or like that's what the
is that what it means? First,
I think so.
Is it
like I think close encounters of the third kind mean it, yeah, like
all right,
it may mean third kind may mean that you should actually have to see the beings,
right? Yeah. So first kind is visual sighting.
I see.
A first encounter is unidentified flying object. It's just like, oh hey, it's within 500 feet. There is this thing. Second kind is in which a physical effect is alleged. This could be interference in a functioning of a vehicle or electronic device. Animals reacting.
Like you hear a sound. And yeah, you react
there has
to it?
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And then third is. Animated creatures are present.
Okay.
So, like, this is a third kind encounter?
2.8.
This was the third kind encounter.
All right.
Yeah. Like 2.5, maybe?
This
anyway.
I have to go deeper because there have been extensions on this scale that I did not expect. There's a fourth kind.
Please.
Which is an abduction. That's when a human is abducted by a UFO or its occupants. The fifth kind... is direct communication. I feel like that could be switched in my mind. In my mind, I want to put direct communication at 4 and abduction at 5.
Yes, I think you're right.
I like mascot in the chat says, first kind, you see an alien. Second kind, you see an alien. Third kind.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And you get took.
Apparently that's the good. Fourth. Sixth is death of a
that's
human
be,
animal.
That's the name of my upcoming abduction script.
You get took.
Get took.
I bet you, I feel like took.
You is, got took.
Took is almost definitely an alien, like, B-movie, right? Like a UFO.
Took?
Yeah, just took.
What about
yeah.
Taken? It's like a, Tooken. It's aliens.
Yeah, the alien spinoff of Taken is Tooken.
The aliens, they don't speak his language, and he's, you know, he does his little speech. If you know the women in my life, he does a whole, you know.
Yeah. He's a very
you're
particular set
tooked.
Of skills, yeah.
Very particular.
But he has to say it on a xylophone to get up. The sixth.
Has to like in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he has to communicate it through music.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's the he goes to the DAG school of drama. The sixth kind is death, and the seventh kind is the creation of a human-alien hybrid, either by sexual reproduction or artificial scientific methods.
Wait, really?
That is the seventh kind. Close Encounters of the Seventh Kind, a Close Encounters of the Third Kind XXX parody. This ain't Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's Close Encounters of the Seventh Kind.
Wow.
Do we end at seven?
We end at seven. So sex is it, apparently.
For now.
That's
sex
the
is
top.
The final frontier, actually.
Actually.
Like all things in life.
What happened with aliens this week? What the fuck are you
Man,
talking
I
about?
Don't, what do you want to talk about aliens? We could talk about some aliens.
I want to talk about aliens.
Well, so there's literally there's been sort of this 18-month quest to discover the possibility of extraterrestrials in Elite Dangerous. It's a game that came out a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I believe started in early access and then got out and then now has been. Filtering to consoles. Apparently, like, the Xbox One version is really good, and it's coming to PlayStation 4 pretty soon. It's, from what I understand, like, one of the best VR experiences
it's really
out there
cool
as well.
VR. I've only done the VR at events, but I actually really enjoyed the time I put into that game in VR because, like, it was the first one that made it very clear what the practical application of being able to, like, dogfight while being able to, like, quickly look up and, like, find somebody up behind you in your cockpit. And just, like, the placeness of that game in those cockpits is really nice.
And it's by and large, like, a pretty – it's, like, a really steep learning curve. Like, so it sort of attracts, like, a certain type of person that, like, is willing to get over that. Like, I've read how – that game is complicated enough. I think it's easier now, like they put in a lot more tutorialization.
Yeah.
But it was to the point where you could boot the game up and not know how to launch your ship. Like it has like that
totally.
Level of nuance and depth. So like and also you don't there's combat in it, but there's not that's not the focus. Combat is like an ancillary part and you're largely just exploring and like running trade routes. And so
yeah,
it's just it attracts this particular type of person.
What if instead of playing The Witcher I got back to playing more Elite Dangerous? I have like 20 hours in Elite Dangerous and
that
really like
shock
it.
Shock me at all.
But because it's like it's the same thing of just like I want to put on a podcast or some music and like disappear into a trade route and like do some missions. Grind some reputation.
What'd you do on your vacation? I disappeared into a trade route.
Where do
trade routes factor on the encounter scale?
That's eighth. Close Encounters of the Eighth Kind is like, yo, you went on a trade route.
You went on a trade
with
route
with an alien.
Yeah. I got some dilithium crystals. You have some you know speaker parts I need for my ship. I'm gonna give you these dilithium crystals and I'm gonna get like a dope stereo system in my Viper.
Sounds
like
right.
That's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right.
So there, in previous versions of Elite, there's been like this one central alien species who I'm now forgetting the name of.
They are called the
Thargoth or
Thargoids.
Something like that.
Thargoids. Yes.
Which sounds a lot cooler on the page than it does when it comes out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yep.
Thargoid does not sound nearly as sinister when you say it.
Yeah, Thargoid is a thing. Like you have to make sure the hormone levels in your thargoid are like solid, just generally. Otherwise, you just get like.
My doctor's always testing that for that. He's like, "Hey, stop eating so much fatty meats."
Yep.
Like
your thargoid levels are just.
And so it's been present in previous games, but when Elite Dangerous for the first 2 years of its existence, it's been humans on their own, just, you know, interacting with each other and in the world, but no aliens whatsoever. But, you know, the developers always said, like, oh, you know, we'll see what things happen in the future.
And they've been saying that for, like, years. It's like 2012 they've been saying that.
And so 18 months ago, David Braben, in an interview, was asked, like, you know, what are the possibilities of there being aliens that exist alongside us? And he said, well, what are you talking about? They already are, which was a hint that in a content update for the game, they had secretly started seeding information about these aliens. And for that past 18 months, it's been this long ARG plus sort of like discovery in the game. So, like, you know, the opposite of Frog Fractions, where you're, you know, doing it all outside to discover the game. This is like there are ARG elements that are interacting with players, you know, like examining things in a trailer that are in there for a fraction of a second, but there's the presence of a star, and that star can be like you can draw the coordinates from that screenshot to like go find an abandoned alien base, like all this like wild stuff that has been this really interesting mixture of marketing and in-game events and player discovery. That culminated last night in a random player on Xbox One. I haven't researched enough to know if like he went to a specific coordinate or stumbled upon a specific coordinate. It does appear that maybe he just stumbled upon it,
right?
And that this was an update in the game that they were just waiting for a player to discover a cutscene.
Which is the fucking coolest shit.
And I'm going to be talking to them next week to like kind of figure out a little bit like how they orchestrated all this stuff. Cause like Frog Fractions, it's also interesting when it's not set in stone there. I'm sure this stuff was like changing and morphing based on what players are interested in, how they were, reacting to it. But essentially, like, you know, he warps in, he's warping from one area to the next. And this video is in the story that's on our site. And he gets hijacked and his ship gets shut down and he starts getting shot at by something. But then out of nowhere, this, like, giant, gross, organic-looking spaceship floats in, takes that thing out.
It's a lot, frankly.
It's terrifying. It's like,
It's like, what if there was a bunch of flesh that was rotten and then also shaped like a flower, like a blossoming flower, and also that was a spaceship?
Rot flower.
Yeah, it's a very, it definitely feels like very, like, Geiger-esque. Yeah. Like, just, like, weirdly organic, like, maybe more Lovecraftian than Geiger.
Yeah.
There's not as many sex organs on, on this alien. But anyway, so, and then the ship sort of, analyzes you and then disappears. And then your ship turns back on and you're left to go, what just happened? And it's this incredibly cool moment. There's I linked to a piece in Eurogamer from really early in 2016 where they were kind of following players as they were discovering this stuff. But by all indication, this is just beginning of a much larger event that sort of introduced the aliens. But just I love these sorts of moments where players these feel organic but like are clearly in some ways orchestrated moments are just incredibly cool.
Yeah, like you have to wonder, like, has there been, so like the Elite Dangerous universe is massive. It's not infinite. It's not like the 18 billion trillion planets, quintillion planets of No Man's Sky. It is like a specific set universe that was mostly procedurally generated. But it's so big that, like, it takes you for real a long time to get to certain places in it. And so, like, in my heart of hearts, the dream I have is just like, oh, yeah, the Thargoids have always been in this quadrant of space so far away that no one in their right mind would ever get there to explore it, you know?
They were like the Borg.
Exactly like that. Yeah, there was a group last year that, like, made a point of crossing the entire galaxy to, like, as like, a big unit of explorers who were just like, we're going to start here and we're going to all go all the way through. And reading about their exploits was really fascinating. It's one of those games that's like, there's cool stuff happening there and I wish I had more time to pay attention, you know?
Well, it's not it feels like for me it has a similar quality to Eve. Like Eve is way more impenetrable to the average person than Elite, but it shares some similar qualities in that I have spent no time playing Eve or Elite, but I've spent a lot of time reading stories about the cool stuff happening in those games. Like, Elite seems to have tapped into something that's, like, super difficult to pull off and probably not something you can do purposely. It's just sort of a mixture of what a game brings and the kind of players that are attracted to it, in which just they start doing fascinating things within it. And Elite, for, you know, has become one of those games where that happens. And certainly they encourage it, just like CCP encourages it in Eve. But, you know, I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of luck of the draw there and whether your game becomes one of those.
Yeah, totally. The in the chat, Sparkletone said that, like, despite the name of the game, I would never expect Elite Dangerous to be scary. That video clip is fucking scary. It's doubly scary, but I actually think that the Elite Dangerous is actually a kind of a scary game for the first part of the jump scare there, or, like, not the jump scare, but, like, being pulled out of your hyperdrive is a thing that can happen in Elite. Like, you're jumping from place to place, and a pirate can just, like, grab your ship and kind of, like, yank you out if they line up their attack right, basically. And if you can't fend them off. And that feeling of being, like, pulled out of your jump is already frightening and, like, disorienting. And so, like, I love that they built the alien encounter off of that. Like, that's what feels like is happening at first. And then it's like, oh shit, this whole other thing is happening that so far eclipses the thought of, like, being attacked by a pirate. It's really good. I wish I had more.
Especially
time.
Like, the idea of, like, this one random person finding it and not know, like the idea of you have stumbled upon something like this, that, you know, it's not like you're, oh, I'm going around the corridor and then something scary might happen. Right. Like, this is an otherwise, like, mundane event in which, like, oh, like, everything about that, when you, the context, you, like, it's already a very chilling sort of scene watching it unravel, but, like, the context, like, gave me goosebumps as I had, like, a better understanding of, like, how this player had this one singular experience that none of us will ever have, and, like, to that level.
Thankfully was recording, because can you imagine the version of this that's, like, the person just says, like, no, I swear there was an alien. I got pulled.
Well, and that's... It's the benefit of these machines constantly monitoring gameplay. Like, it's something that could not have existed 10 years ago.
Was this an Xbox player? Or was this...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, if I had been playing on
PC... So, on the PC, that's not really possible unless you're... I guess Windows 10 does do that if you're using their game app. But, like,
yeah, but
it's just something
that
without, like, really advanced tech that most people couldn't afford or use, just this sort of sharing wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago.
Totally. All right. I think... With that, it's time to dip into the question bucket.
Yeah.
I know I've said that I've been, you know, on vacation all this time, but...
But he hasn't.
I did add a lot of questions to the old bucket here.
Yeah.
You know, remember what the number was last time we talked about the bucket? How many questions were in there?
30-something.
Off the top of your head? It's like 30-something.
Right.
It was like 30-something. This document is now 50 pages long.
Great.
I added 107 questions in this bucket now.
We're at 24-hour charity live stream. We'll answer all your questions.
Let's go. Keep them coming. 107 questions.
Let's have
in
a
the
close
bucket.
Close question encounter. Sounds
we got
good.
Buckets. Yeah. Give me a number between 1 and 107. If you have a question, you can send it to gamingadvice.com. Use the subject question. And then maybe some other words, but include question for sure.
Yeah.
Give me a question. Give me a number.
Danielle, do it.
Yeah, Danielle, give me a number.
All right, we're going to go with my my number from when I played lacrosse. It's number 6. Uh-huh.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, that's going to be an old question. that question is an old, okay.
66.
This ties into something we were saying earlier. This one comes in from Simon in Sweden. Hello there, Vice. During the summer, I've been determined to finish off some of my backlog. I've beaten several games I thoroughly enjoyed, but unfortunately, a number of which I haven't enjoyed at all. Should I feel bad for not completing games? I feel like the feeling of wasting money is the issue here, but also I feel like I should play some of the games because other people love it, even though I'm not feeling it. Many thanks from Simon in Sweden. My, like, gut is like, I don't give a fuck what other people think. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel like you have better uses of your time... Like, please, by all means. Like, obviously, I think there's value in, like, hey, what do other people see here? But we're not here in that much time, you know? We don't have that much time on this planet, you know?
Also, I don't think you should feel bad about your behaviors. Like, I don't think you should feel bad about media consumption if it was an ethically produced piece of entertainment, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, I think you can feel bad about things that were made, that somebody got hurt in the making of it, and you can,
sure,
you can argue all sorts of things, but as a general rule, I think that things that you do at your leisure should not make you... I mean, this is not like, oh, you should not feel bad. I'm not wagging a finger. I'm saying, like, as a general rule, there are other things to feel bad about. And, you know, like let yourself enjoy what you want and take what you want, get the value out of something that you want, and then focus the negative energy elsewhere, if you can, if you're capable of doing that.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm trying to go back and play The Witcher because I want to play The Witcher, not because somebody else insists that I should. And I think, like, if everyone in the world was like, The Last Guardian is the best game ever, I still, you know, I've spoken about it a lot with Naughty Dog games, which I, you know, I've played through the first two Uncharted games, and I played through Last of Us, and I never played Uncharted 3, I never played Uncharted 4, I don't think I'm gonna. You know, if I ever do, I can very clearly imagine a scenario in which I start it and just don't finish it, and, like, it's okay to know your taste and to not be part of the conversation and to not complete everything. And also, I just, like, people drop off of shit all the time, and it is okay. Like, I feel like there's something instilled in a lot of us at a young age. Like, if you start a book, you finish the book. If you start a movie, you finish the movie. It's hard to walk away from, like, it can be hard to do that, but, like, I think we need to let ourselves do that sometimes. I don't know. Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely don't drop shit.
Yeah, it's hard.
I get, like, you know, I get invested in wanting to see it through with most things. I mean, I'm also, like, I wouldn't do that with something I actively disliked, but there are, like, let's say, there are plenty of scenarios. Mafia 3 was a great example of, like, really strong start, was, like, lots of things I enjoyed about it, and then I could tell, like, oh, this is what this game is, and it's just going to do this for, like, another 15 hours. Is it worth that for the bits I like? And I probably should have just watched the cutscenes on YouTube, because to get to the couple of bits I liked made me resent the game.
Right.
And that's partially the game's fault. That's partially my fault for, like, I wish the game and the parts I didn't like were better. But also, I was punishing myself by, like, okay, I'm just going to keep doing this. Yep. I'm just going to keep doing this so I can get to the part that I like. And I probably could have found a better way to enjoy those things.
Right. I guess, like, for me, there's this thing of, like, a book or a movie or a game or an album, like, doesn't... And I say this as someone who literally only really listens to music and albums. Like, I listen to albums as a thing instead of singles, instead of, like, outside of handcrafted mixtapes. I pretty much only listen to music in album format. And I still think that we should move away from, the consumptive model of, like, oh, gotta finish your meal, you know? Maybe it was just, like, the way life works sometimes. It's like, who has... Lots of people just don't have the time. Lots of people just don't have the time to commit to a thing that way. On the other hand, I definitely do think there is value as a critic going through something and, like, how do they stick the landing? Do they, like...
Yeah, for sure.
Does this all congeal at a certain point? Does it all fall apart at the end? So, like, I'm not saying I'm done playing games through to the end in any way. I'm just trying to let myself have that, like, escape valve. Because it's not like there's a limit on how many other cool things there are for me to check out, you know? So, yeah.
Can I just say... this in the chat, Orpheus94 says, yeah, Watch Dogs 2 I mostly enjoyed, but by the second to last mission I just had enough and uninstalled it, no regrets. I could not do
you
that
couldn't do it.
There's no, you're like, there is no scenario in any world
at that point.
Yeah,
I could not that just, like, reading that stresses me out.
Yeah, go, like, finish
Orpheus, I will go and finish the game for you, brother or sister.
It's that game ends poorly.
But I just, this is me, and this is, like...
You're so close.
I end up playing... You're so close! Just finish the mission, man!
It's right there.
Come on!
It's right there.
Finish line is right it. There.
I get it. Believe me. And I will say there are things that do gnaw at me, right? Like, I'm... They gnaw at me when I know I would enjoy it, and I just fucked up.
Right.
Like, I feel like a fuck... Like, how have I not fucking finished The Witcher? What is wrong with... Like, come on. Like, deprioritize some other shit. Like, there's definitely elements of that for me. Especially when it's something that I feel hasn't necessarily gotten its due. Like, I'm kicking myself right now for having not played the Silver Case, which is the first game, the game that Flower, Sun, and Rain is almost a parody of. And I love Flower, Sun, and Rain and haven't played the Silver Case. I'm like, what is wrong with you all? It's like, go fucking play the Silver Case. Do it. And it can be hard to do that sometimes. Like, it's... You get distracted with things. Like, sometimes you just want to boot up State of Decay or Dragon's Dogma on your vacation for, like, an hour instead of putting time...
I'll go run some trade routes.
Right, I want to run some trade routes. That's all I want to do. I want to play games that don't...
Well, you need like a separate computer connected to a separate monitor that is just running trade routes. Like, you're working.
I'm working.
But like, your trade routes are also
working.
I'm making money.
You know, it's two different.
Mm-hmm. It's all currency.
It's all carrots.
You just spend it in different places.
Oh, exactly. And Fox Eared is talking in chat about having never finished one of their favorite games, Banjo-Kazooie.
That's...
Yeah, you know what? I have a deep regret of Final Fantasy 6/3. One of my favorite...
Oh, we're letting it all out.
Not just JRPG. One of my favorite RPGs of all time. And when I rented it from the family video...
Uh-huh.
And out here, the internal battery died on the cartridge when I made it to the final island where you're going to fight Kefka in the Shadow World.
Right.
Or whatever that second,
half of the game is. Yeah.
And it erased all my progress. And I didn't have... Like, I didn't have it in me... Because especially, like, the way I played those games when I was, like, a young teenager, like, I'm sure I'd invested, you know, 120 hours into it, maxing everything out and doing all the nonsense. I just couldn't muster the energy to do it all over again. And so it's one of my favorite games, but I've never seen the ending. And I've always just kind of held out hope they're going to, like, maybe not do a remake of that game
in a
Final Fantasy VII remake fashion, but some sort of, like, I don't know, revisiting of that game that I could justify going back and doing it in a non-emulator fashion. But it still bugs me. Now I'm upset.
Metal Gear Solid 2 was a game that was one of my favorites for years, and I could never finish because my copy had a scratch on it that made the last cutscene stop playing like 2 minutes in. Yeah, 100%. I could load up that save, beat the final boss, and every time it would be... And the final boss is a fucking drag. The final boss goes. And so, like... I had to do that again and again. I was like, maybe this time it won't break. And this was, like, obviously in the era before YouTube, right? This is like, when that game first came out, I couldn't just go look up the ending online, like, the video of it. I read a transcript, and I was like, I guess that all makes sense.
Oh, no.
Memes and genes. Information control. Fake news. Like, I get it. Cool. And so, yeah. But I've since seen the ending of that game. But it's still, like, it is a sore spot for me. I'm just like, I wish I had been the one to finish that game in my life and not seeing somebody else. Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot of uncompleted stories out there. Danielle, do you have anything that was like, you wish you would have finished it?
So many. God, so many. I mean, Witcher 3 is hilarious. Like, I legitimately spent more than 100 hours in that game and still have not beaten the main quest. Because I went
you
to every...
Because so
I'm a crazy person who, like, enjoys going to every ridiculous thing and running, like, on my feet and not my horse to, like, get the whole atmosphere. And I'm
never going
to
finish that game. Not going to happen.
But I... You know, I'm somewhere near the end, and then I'll probably play the DLC. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is a game you do need to... To get the full satisfaction of, like, certain things in the DLC, you absolutely need to, like, finish the main game.
Okay.
Like, you can't jump around.
Okay.
Like, and you have to play it in order.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought...
If you're going to commit to it, like, commit to it, because there are just certain things that happen in some of the DLCs that are, like, well worth just saying at some point, okay, I'm going to mainline. I'm just going to do the story stuff. I just need to get the ending so my save game marks that I have finished the main quest.
Right.
Because there are some things that you won't see in the DLC that are, like, some of the best story payoffs in the series, really. I mean, I didn't play the first one, but I love the second one.
Right.
Well, I'm going to just have to do that at some point.
We'll have our Witcher check-ins every week
Weekly
and see
Witcher.
Where we're at.
You guys can both play it at the same time.
It's a race.
On Witcher Wednesdays.
Right.
Such a great
and
idea.
You can
we'll just cut between the two
Waypoint
videos.
Waypoint Witcher
That's
Wednesdays.
It.
Yeah.
Waypoint Witcher Wednesdays.
On
www. Waypoint, getting around to your game of the year 2015 in 2017.
Oh. Exactly. It's perfect.
Listen, we're a game. We're why we play games and culture. Mm-hmm. That's us, Waypoint.
Mm-hmm. Why we play The Witcher.
That's... Sometimes the culture doesn't happen. You don't have to be at the breakneck pace. You know what I mean? We don't always talk about the press cycle, Patrick. We don't always talk about whatever the new hot shit is. Sometimes we can go back into the vault and find, you know, underloved classics.
A hidden gems.
Like The Witcher. Hidden gems.
If you will.
Like The Witcher 3. It'll be good to keep checking in and see if either of us keep this promise.
I think that's wise. That's a great idea.
I think that's going to do it for us this week. With that, the promise to keep playing The Witcher 3, you can find me on the internet at Austin_Walker on Twitter, Austin Walker Games on Facebook. Patrick, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Patrick on Twitter.
Twitter?
Patrick on Twitter?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to answer questions off to the side as well. And you can find me at Pete Klepek on Facebook.
Danielle, what about you?
I am at Danielle R.I. on Twitter and Danielle Riendo Writer on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, good. Well, you can find everything Vice does on Twitter at, not Vice, that's not true. I was like, wait, this sounds wrong on my mouth. That's not, everything Waypoint does on Twitter at twitter.com/Waypoint. We're also Waypoint Vice on YouTube, on Facebook, on the IG, kind of everywhere else. So look us up there, Waypoint Vice. And be sure to, again, write us in questions, gamingadvice.com, subject header question, if you want to get your question in the old bucket. It might be a couple weeks before I put more questions in the bucket, because
it's pretty full.
But we'll still skim from the top the way we've been doing on Monday. So look forward to that. A lot of good stuff coming up next week. Like I said, I'm going to do that. We just had that special one-off podcast with Steve Gaynor about Tacoma developer, Gone Home developer, Fulbright Company co-founder, Steve Gaynor, about Mafia 3, because we both just like that game a bunch. So look forward to that next Wednesday. Anything else happening that people are excited about that we should wet the whistle for?
Switch next week, man.
Switch next week.
Details about that Switch.
I'm going to that Switch event, and I hope I can touch it. I hope they let me touch the Switch.
There is a report from Eurogamer, who's had a lot of good Switch reports, saying that new Mario game is just straight up done.
No,
like, it
way.
Is sitting on a fucking hard drive somewhere, just waiting for me. Game of the Year 2017 is just in the air.
Someone's gonna go. What happens if Marcus from Watchdog just goes and gets us the?
Yeah,
that's.
Mr. Robot, go get me that Mario.
Mr. Robot, go get me that Mario. Thank you, Mr. Robot.
I think Mr. Robot is the one who's talking on that Twitch stream, though.
It is. I checked in on that Twitch stream, by the way. For people who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, it's twitch.tv/cbotschat. And I peeked in earlier, and there was a conversation. One of them has a boyfriend because the boyfriend is a pirate.
It's two Google Homes, right? Is that what that device
sure.
is?
Sure. I believe you. And one of them is one of them was a ninja, one of them is a pirate. The robots are talking to each other, and I want them to hack me the Mario.
Yeah.
Please hack me the Mario. Hack the Gibson and give me the Mario.
Oh, one shout out to this weekend, starting on January 8th, Sunday. Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yes.
The winter one is starting. There's always a lot of amazing stuff. I'm sure we'll be writing about a bunch of them next week, just because there's just
because they're the fucking
so much
best
cool stuff that happens.
Super cool and good. Yes, they're so dope. So pay attention to that. We will be back on Monday with the next episode 29 on Monday of Waypoint Radio. We have 29 of these in the can already, and that ain't bad.
Yeah.
And that's just of Waypoint Radio. That's not even of.
Yeah, I'll say, are we actually further than that because of Vice Gaming's new podcast?
Maybe not. We must not.
I don't know.
That must be 29. Yeah, that sounds right. Because, like, more than that, and you start getting the year territory.
29's half a year. We've been doing it since September.
Yeah, half a year.
That sounds right.
Close enough. Thanks, as always, for joining us, and thanks to Bowen for letting us use his track, Miss You, off the EP Pale Machine. Go to waypoint.zone/BOEN for more info on that. Everybody else, though, I just want you to do like me. Like, take this weekend for like a time to chill and relax, unless you have work, in which case, good luck with that, because that's a whole other thing, you know? All right, y'all. Peace.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.